This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's John Dawe Banks Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see johncast.net.
This month in the news, everything you need to know for a rainy Saturn day. For many astronomers, one of the most impressive sights in the night sky will undoubtedly be the rings of Saturn. The rings claim this accolade because of how readily visible they are in the night sky, even when using amateur telescopes. The rings appear from Earth to be made of two main components that glow with a slightly brownish light and are separated by a narrow dark stripe. However, it was not until space probes like Voyager and the later, more specialized Cassini mission actually traveled to Saturn that the incredible nature of the rings could be understood. Instead of being made up of just two concentric rings, Saturn's rings appear as hundreds of concentric circular filaments made up mostly of billions of fragments of water ice. This month's news is dedicated to the science of Saturn, both in its rings and its atmosphere. Viewed edge on, Saturn's rings all but disappear. This is because even though Saturn's rings stretch up thousands of kilometres above Saturn's equator, they have a thickness, when unperturbed by passing moons, of merely 10 metres. This is equivalent to the Earth being enclosed by a ring only a single atom thick. It may be assumed then that observing Saturn's rings edge on may yield no useful information, and for much of the time this is true. But every 14 and a half years the entire scene changes, when the Saturnian equinox occurs. The Saturnian equinox is the moment where, from the perspective of Saturn, the Sun passes from one side of the rings to the other. During this transition there are a few days where the Sun's light shines through the disk. It is at this point that it becomes easy to see the walls of cloud that protrude up out of the plane of the disk. These clouds are made up of fragments of ice that have been ejected after a meteor impact. A team of astronomers working with images taken by the Cassini orbiter have been investigating the ejected clouds caused by meteors striking Saturn's rings. The meteors in question are thought to be only a few centimetres, up to about 1 meter in radius. This sort of meteor is far too small to be able to observe directly, which means that the clouds ejected after an impact with Saturn's rings may be the only way for astronomers to know they existed. Although it is unlikely that Cassini will observe an impact as it occurs, this does not matter, as the impact time can be estimated by measuring the length of the cloud. Initially, the impact cloud will be a spherical ball of icy material thrown in all directions, but as Saturn's rings rotate, the ball is stretched out into a long line that could be up to thousands of kilometres long. What the astronomers hope to understand from this investigation of small meteor impacts on Saturn's rings is whether or not there are enough impacts to replenish the ring system with fresh material faster than it is lost to the atmosphere of Saturn. This has large implications for the age of Saturn's rings, as there is currently debate as to whether the rings are a young 100 million years old, or formed not long after Saturn, several billion years ago. In August 1980, the Voyager 1 space probe began its one and only visit to Saturn, eventually passing as close as a few million kilometres above its gassy atmosphere. The images taken by Voyager 1 became the best pictures of Saturn since NASA's previous visit with Pioneer 11. However, there are unusual features found in some of the images taken. These features were two or three large dark shadows banded around the surface of Saturn. The cause of these shadows at the time was unknown. Some scientists had a theory that perhaps this effect could be caused by rain falling on Saturn's upper atmosphere, originating from Saturn's own rings. Unfortunately, there is no way of being sure what the cause of the shadows was, as Voyager 1 was bound on a course that would leave Saturn far behind it. How would water be transported from the rings and down onto Saturn? The answer to this is related to the interactions between the smallest fragments of water ice in the rings and Saturn's magnetic field. The smallest icy particles are able to acquire static charges from interactions with light or meteor strikes on the rings. The motion of these charged ice particles then becomes dominated by Saturn's magnetic field, and they soon find themselves spiraling along the magnetic field lines, falling out of the ring until eventually crashing into Saturn's upper atmosphere. With the goal of proving or disproving the possibility of rain falling from Saturn's rings, some astronomers set to work using the Keck Observatory's Near-Infrared Spectroscopic Telescope. The aim was to try and measure emission from ionized molecular hydrogen high up in the ionosphere of Saturn. The reason being that if water molecules are falling onto the ionosphere from the rings, then the amount of ionized molecular hydrogen would be depleted. This is exactly what was observed. And, slightly unexpectedly, it seemed that a much larger area of Saturn was experiencing rainfall than was predicted. This mechanism for removing water ice from the rings is known as electromagnetic erosion, an axe to destroy the rings. Electromagnetic erosion, like meteor impacts in the previous story, is another clue in estimating the age of Saturn's rings. And finally, the Cassini Orbiter science team last month released a new set of processed images of a gigantic hurricane forever blowing around the North Pole of Saturn. They have been observing the North Polar regions of Saturn since the beginning of the Cassini mission because an unusual hexagon-shaped feature could be seen. However, the core of the feature could never be observed because Saturn's pole was tilted away from the Sun. This changed after the 2009 Saturnian equinox, as the North Pole became illuminated, revealing the eye of Saturn's perpetual hurricane. The Saturnian hurricane is different to terrestrial hurricanes, not because of its size and tremendous wind speeds of 330 miles per hour, but because it is locked, unmoving, onto the North Pole. Earth-based hurricanes drift gradually towards their nearest polar region because of the interaction between the rotation of the spiraling winds and the rotation of the Earth. However, a Saturnian hurricane has nowhere left to go, and so remains stationary. Polar hurricanes may not be something we see on the Earth, but elsewhere in the solar system, they certainly are not unusual. Saturn itself has a matching hurricane on its south pole. There may be one on Neptune, and even one on Titan, one of Saturn's moons.